The compassionate, the merciful. Hello and welcome to Pure Home on this Sunday, May the 4th, with me, Mahtab Yeganefar. Well, today, women and men are both working at home and outside. Due to different reasons, women are also working outside of their homes. It could be personal or it could be financial. Muslim women are no exception, as Islam does not ban them from working outside of their homes, provided that their work does not harm their family life. Today we'll be discussing women's work and specifically women's dress code at their workplace. So we have a special guest to shed more light on this subject. We also have this week's report and we also have from here and there. So stay with us. My guest today is Mahnaz Bahaji. She's a researcher in Islamic and other faith studies. She's also director of Adams Interpretation Limited, and she's an interpreter by profession. She joins us live from her studios in London. Hello and good day, Ms. Bahaji. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you in Pure Home again.
Thank you again for inviting me here. I hope we can have a nice session about this matter, which is very important for all of the ladies as a Muslim.
Yes, I do hope that is the case and that all our viewers, especially our Muslim viewers, will benefit from our discussion today. As we said, Muslim women are also working today as our religion, which is an all-encompassing religion and has always moved on along with the requirements of time, has not banned them from leaving home and working outside. But this has some special requirements, as Muslim women are required to cover themselves and to dress modestly when they leave home and they're in public. So let's start by asking, what are the basic requirements of a Muslim woman's dress code when she is outside?
Well, I always thought, why is it the focus is on women? It should be on men as well. We both require to have a modestable dress code when we go out, and also in particular in our behavior, that is essential. I don't know if you have got my voice. I can't hear you. Do you have me? Have you got my voice?
You can hear me? Can hear you, Ms. Bahaji. Yes, go on, please. We can hear you. Did you hear my question, Ms. Bahaji?
Yes, I have heard you, and I have got various things over here which previously been sent to me. I would sort of, you know, elaborate a little bit of a verse of Quran, how Quran made it clear how man and woman should behave. I think Quran made it very clear that he has created male and female. in order to get one another. It's on number 49, which is a chapter 49 of Quran, verse 13. Allah says, I have created you male and female to recognize one another, to give you as a tribe to the mankind in all over the world with different language, different color. So you understand who I am as a creator and understand one another in terms of language and culture and any other things that is related to your daily life or overall in history or present or future. And amongst you are the one who has got the highest righteousness in their being. This is what Quran is talking about. Is not specifically emphasizing on a dress code. It's talking about male and female equal in being as a human being on the earth, and they have to observe their behavior, where they work, how they work, and how they interact with one another. This did not put any limitation on there. And if you go to Quran verse, the chapter 7, number 26, it talks about, O children of Adam, we have provided you with the garment to cover your body as well as your luxury. So, and the best garment for you is the garment of righteousness. Allah talks about, again, about the best behavior, how you have the attitude towards one another. The dress code is just over there for women that come afterwards, which talks about, if you come across unrighteous man, which is quite dangerous for women, women are vulnerable physically, then your dress code appears or applies when you go out. And how do they have to do it? It's, Allah did not make it difficult for us. It's very easy. You can have a nice dressing up to go out as long as you covered your body. But if you go to other verses of Quran, which is in Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Al-Nur, I think it's chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, Allah talks to both male and female to lower their gaze, to subdue their eyes, to maintain their thought, their chastity. You have to really think, you know, the way you're thinking, the way you're living. That is the first thing comes. You have to purify your mind. The way you look at things will change the way you look at. If you don't educate yourself, if you don't purify your mind, it doesn't matter which way you're dressed. But the requirement of the women to go to the public and society where a sort of dress that is appropriate for her, it is important not to show and display her body. It is important to just, with the dress code, say, I am as a human being. Look at the professional way that I can work and I'm with you. That is the first message she will give when she have a right dress code when she goes out. These are the main important things women should think. And I don't think it's require any color or any sort of, you know, a style. And if you go to different countries, particularly in Europe, the dress code is different than Saudi Arabia, it's different than Iran, it's different than Pakistan or any other country that you go. Malay people have got different dress code for covering. Did not limit it, Allah. It depends to the culture, to the language, or the time that we are in, or the way that we interpret the verse. However, however it is, the righteousness comes first and it applies to male and female. And it would be nice to elaborate about many women as an scholar during the time of the Prophet Muhammad up to 800-900 or even 12th century of Islam. We had so many women working out and the contribution they gave to Islamic civilization. It's extraordinary and enormous. Do you want me to carry on? Do I have enough time?
Summarize here, it's first of all, it's both about men and women. Both of them have to be modest. It's not just that women have to cover up. Men also have the responsibility of controlling their glances and lowering their gaze, as you said, and also that the specifics or the basics are the same, that a Muslim woman should dress modestly, but what are the basics? I mean, what parts are can be shown, like the face and the hands? Could you also say a few words on that?
Let's go to the civilization we had before Islam. If you go to the history of mankind, you will see the covering. It applies to the Christian society, Judaism, Zoroastrian, or before that. The way that just made it difficult for women, you must wear certain color and top two toes, and just that, it just like, you know, they come like a tent coming out of the house, which Allah did not say that in Quran. It just declared that do not show your body, not to the, you know, if a man is a pious man, it purified his mind, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the earth to give the highest manners and ethics to the men and women. This is what he came for, to educate us. Husnul khulq, this is the best one that a human being can. He came for that. In the front of those kind of men, there is no worries. If your hair come out, your, I don't know, the skin that you shows, they have got piety, they have fear of Allah, they have got God consciousness within them. But just as, you know, for those men who are not righteous, you cover. This covering that has been exaggerated these days, it has existed in history. When Islam came, purified, in other words, let me just say it, what is the right words? It came to polish it up, not to do that extreme, but observe your dress code, just for those who are unrighteous, as a protection. So hands, face, foot, obviously, it's a something necessary that you have to be out, but then it's not necessarily you have to wear an ugly dress or sort of, you know, completely loose, or come to the way that you're working and disturbs you. Islam made everything very easy for us. This is what I understand from the verse of Quran. And hijab is not a right word to use. It says Allah, يَذْرِبْنَ خِمَارَهِنَّ. Zaraba here doesn't mean hit. Zaraba here means put, because Zaraba has got many meaning. In previous program, I have spoken, every words of Arabic word has got many meaning. We have to be careful how to apply it and translate it, and it related to the verse that we are reading and interpreting or translating.
If I may cut you off here, can we keep that discussion for after we come back? We'll have more to discuss with Ms. Bauji, but let's take a short break and we'll be back after that.